This evening's scripture reading will come from Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 9. Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 9, from the English Standard Version. Then Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." He answered them, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, 'If anyone tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God,' he need not honor his father. For the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'"
Good to be here with you tonight. I'm just going to go ahead and hit this button and see what happens. I've had a terrible time with this PowerPoint today, haven't I? But that's not good. What's going on, brethren? They'll work on that and fix that while I talk, I believe. I'm thrilled that the Fields have placed their membership with us. It is wonderful. Most of you know my time with Thayer Street, of course. I've talked about it before. And my relationship with them goes back. You said what?
I don't have your disc.
Did I not give you a disc?
You want to wing it?
Huh?
You want to wing it or you want me to try to put it in there?
Yeah. I think I'll go ahead and put it in there.
Okay.
Like, y'all can call me and wave me down or something. Oh, boy. Anyway, so my relationship with the Fields really predates the Fields. It goes back to Thayer Street. Becca and Sarah, of course, were members there and had a good relationship with them and their parents. Very fond of their father, Dave, and then they both married and married fine men, brethren, and of course have had a good relationship with them over the years. We're really blessed to have Becky and Jimmy with us, and most of you know them, many of you at least know them and have a relationship with them already. But Jimmy is a fine brother. One thing I love about Jimmy is that he's very affectionate, and I think someone said about him hugging and that sort of thing. But you know, if you want to get Jimmy serious, just talk about the Word. He loves the Word of God, and he's serious about it. And that goes all the way back to when I was at Thayer Street. Like, if I say something wrong in this pulpit, he'll talk to me about it. And I like that about Jimmy, and we need brethren like that. He takes the Word of God and being accurate with the Word of God very seriously, and that is going to help us. So I appreciate both Becky and Jimmy being with us. It's just a wonderful. I could go on and on. Should I tell you about the time when I performed their marriage ceremony? I'll save that for a different time. But it's just wonderful that they're with us. Look forward to working with them for many years. So, you see, we are going to continue why I am a member of the Church of Christ. And I said last week, people become a part of a church for many different reasons, but they're not all good reasons. Some simply because their parents are members of a particular church. And some people are members of a church and their parents and their grandparents and even their great-grandparents were members of that particular church. And that's the only reason that really they are members of that church. I remember talking, I may have mentioned it to you before when I was doing radio work in Louisville, about Baptist Larry, who, and he, of course, he told us to call him that, and so we did, and but he was a Baptist, obviously, and he, on several occasions, made the point, I'm a Baptist, and I will always be a Baptist. When we would get in discussions on the radio about various things, it doesn't matter, he would say. I don't care what you all say. I'm always going to be a Baptist no matter what. Well, that was really tradition. He was a Baptist traditionally. And so that was the reason he was a member of the Baptist church, but it wasn't a good reason. And again, just being a member even of the Church of Christ, just because your parents are, it's a reason, but not a good reason. Or if you're a member of a church because they emphasize family, like the Mormon church, it's a reason, just not a good reason. And so the list goes on. Why are you a member of whatever church you're a member of? Most of you are members of the Church of Christ. Why are you a member of the Church of Christ? So last week we began by looking at some fundamental things. The Church of Christ was established at the right time and place, that is, in the first century at Jerusalem. I'm not going to cover all of that again, but that's very important. And that's why I'm a member of the Church of Christ. It was founded. It did have its beginning at the right time in place. Not only that, it was established by the right person, that is, Jesus Christ. It wears the right name, that is, a scriptural designation. We call ourselves churches of Christ. Why? Because we can open up our Bible and we can put our finger on the passage where local churches were called churches of Christ. Nobody claims that it has to be that phrase exactly. There are other scriptural names, but the point of it is it has to be scriptural. You can't just decide you're going to just choose a name and wear it that you don't even read about in the Bible. I'm a member of the Church of Christ because I can read about it in the Word of God. We found last week, as we closed the era of denominationalism, we see that mainstream denominations, and this is just a fraction of the list. There's too many. Someone has said there's over 30,000 denominations. I've never checked into that, but I do know this. There are literally thousands of denominations. Obviously, I can't put them on the screen, but one thing I can tell you is that with every one of them, you can look it up, you can do the research, and you'll find out when and where and by whom they were established. And it won't be in Jerusalem by Christ in 33 AD or sometime in that period. It'll be hundreds of years after that, probably thousands of years after that. And so we won't go through this list now, but that's what's wrong with denominationalism. They started at the wrong time and place. They wear the wrong designation, and they were founded by the wrong people. But there are other reasons why I am a member of the Church of Christ. The one I want to look at tonight is that it has the right standard of authority. And this is extremely important. If you don't have the right standard of authority, you are going to do unscriptural things. And one of the things we need to understand, and sometimes you hear me say that we have to connect the dots. A lot of people just don't ever really connect the dots. They think, okay, well, I see we're doing some things and that maybe aren't authorized, and perhaps that's not the best thing to do. They don't really put it together. It's not just not the best thing to do. It's a sinful thing to do whenever you do things that you can't read about in the Bible. Colossians 3 and at verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have to have authority for everything that we do as local churches. And we need to realize how important that is. So I'm a member of the Church of Christ. And when I say that, I'm speaking of faithful churches of Christ. I'm a member of a faithful Church of Christ because we have authority for everything that we do. anything. And if you're visiting with us, you can check it out and examine it. And we want you to do that. But you'll find everything we've done tonight, everything we'll do the rest of this evening, we can put our finger on the passage and say, this is why we worship this way. This is where the Bible authorizes and even commands us to do these things. And so it's very important. Authority is important. Now, you notice this. I have in red there, Christ in his word. That's the right standard of authority. It begins with Christ, and we recognize Christ is the head of the church. In churches of Christ, we're sure about that. We preach that. You see that we believe that by our practices. Almost every denominational church will say Christ is the head of the church. They just don't demonstrate that in their practice, the way they worship and the work that they do. But in faithful churches of Christ, we take that very seriously. If you open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, just to make sure we know that this is a scriptural fact, Christ is indeed the head of the church. There's two places in the book of Ephesians where this is stated. First, in Ephesians chapter 1 and at verse beginning at 22, Ephesians chapter 1, in the verse is 22. The Bible says, and he put all things under his feet, gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Then over in chapter 5, you remember Paul making a comparison between the husband and wife in Christ and his church. Ephesians chapter 5 at verse 23, the Bible says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And then in Colossians chapter 1, we have almost an identical statement, only the church and the body is reversed. In Colossians 1 and at verse 18, the Bible says, and he, that is Christ, is the head of the body. The church, he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. So is it clear to everyone, it should be, that Christ is the head of the church? Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Christ is the head, and he's the only head. And so in churches of Christ, we believe that. We believe strongly that he is the head of the church. Now, again, most denominations will say the same thing. But in their practice, they show they really don't accept and believe that. I'm a member of the Church of Christ because we know that intellectually. We read about it in the Bible, and you can see that played out in the work that we do and how we worship. Christ is the right authority. He is the head of the church. But notice that I say in and his word. The word of God is our only standard of authority. That's why I'm a member of the Church of Christ. And again, we take this very seriously. I've put up this quote before because I really like it. David Lipscomb shows the distinction between churches of Christ and denominational churches. And I think that he's very accurate with regard to this. This is what he wrote. Our worship to God is regulated by the laws of God. We have no knowledge of what is well-pleasing to God, what well-pleasing to God is in worship, save as God has revealed it to us. Now, keep in mind, obviously, this is just a quote from him. But, excuse me, obviously, he's dealing with worship. But I would have you keep in mind that what he says here about worship would be just as true with the work of the church and the organization of the church, even the moral standings of the church. It would be applicable. And so again, we have no knowledge of what is well pleasing to God is in worship, save as God has revealed it to us. the New Testament is at once the rule and limit of our faith and worship to God. This is the distinctive difference between us and other religious bodies. Others accept the New Testament as their rule of faith, but do not make it the limit of their faith. That's important to see. Like I could talk to any denominational preacher out there and ask him about the Word of God. Is the Bible, is it the Word of God? They would all say yes. Is it a standard for us? Yeah, oh yes, of course. Of course it is. It's just not the limit. It's not their only standard of authority. And that's a distinction. In churches of Christ, we believe that the Bible is it. There is no other way that God communicates to us with special revelation. There is no other book that we can turn to get authority to do this or to do that. It is the Bible and the Bible alone. And that's what he's emphasizing here. He says, they add other things as articles of faith and acts of worship than those contained in the Bible. We seek for things authorized, they for things not prohibited. I cannot emphasize enough the distinction in that. It makes a huge difference. We do only, again, what we can read about in the Bible. Most denominational churches, and keep in mind, they're filled with good, honest people. And they think that they're doing what's right, but they honestly believe that if God hasn't said, thou shalt not, then it's okay. That's what they look for as they study the Bible. What's prohibited? Where did God say, we can't do this or we can't do that? In churches of Christ, we take the position, we need positive authority. We need to see in the Word of God where Jesus, through his apostles, authorized a certain practice before we do it. There's a huge difference in those two things. And there's no doubt, I'm not going to preach on authority tonight. I will probably soon. I do a couple of times a year, probably, because it's needed and necessary. But we understand that the silence of the Scriptures do not authorize us to do anything. God tells us what he wants. Remember what he said up there earlier? We don't know what's well-pleasing to God unless he reveals it to us. Where does he reveal that to us? It's in the Word of God. If you do anything that's not in Scripture, at the very best, it is just your guess that it's pleasing to God. And if it's not in the Scriptures, I can tell you it is not pleasing to God. It might be popular with the people. It might be what the majority of religious folks are doing, but if it's not in the Word of God, it's not pleasing to him. And so we need to realize the difference between those two things. He continues, our rule is safe, theirs is loose. Ours confines us to God's appointments. Theirs opens the worship and service of God to whatever will please men. Now remember, he's talking about worship, but wouldn't that apply to the work of the church? Why is it that most denominations get involved in fun and frolic, recreation and entertainment, and use what they think is the Lord's money to fund those things? It's because they're not limited to the Word of God. They do whatever is pleasing to man. But that what's pleasing to man may not be pleasing to God. Our rule limits man's worship to the exercises approved of in the Bible. Why am I a member of the Church of Christ? That's one reason why. It's because of our standard of authority that begins with Jesus Christ being the head of the church and ends with the Word of God being our only standard of authority. And so we need to recognize that the Bible is our standard. Well, when we start thinking about the Word of God and how it has come down to us, another great difference between faithful churches of Christ and denominations, it centers around how it is that God speaks to us today. And so this is a sermon within itself. I don't have time to develop it in detail, so we'll just go through the chart here. We know that God speaks. Hebrews 1 at verse 1 speaks of that. God has spoken to people in many different ways. He's spoken to his people in different ways. In the Old Testament, he spoke by the prophets. He spoke through dreams and visions and such. He doesn't speak to his people like that anymore. We find that now in the last days, he speaks to us through his son, Jesus. Hebrews 1 and at verse 2. Now, we need to understand that doesn't mean that Jesus is going to appear before your bedside tonight and give you some kind of message, which is what a lot of people believe, which is even what a lot of preachers claim. No, we need to figure out then, how is it? We know God speaks, and we know that God speaks through his son, so how does he do that? We don't have to guess about it. The Bible tells us Jesus speaks through his apostles. Now, turn over to John chapter 17, because I want you to read this for yourself. John chapter 17, and at verse 7 and 8. This is John, the 17th chapter, and verses 7 and 8. John chapter 17, verse 7 and 8. The Bible says, "Now they know that everything that you have given me." Now notice this. That lines up with the chart, doesn't it? God gave his word to Jesus. So now he says, "Everything that you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me." So God gave Jesus words. He gave those words to the apostles. "And they have received them and have come to know in truth that I come from you, and they have believed that you sent me." So God speaks. He speaks through his son. His son gave those words to the apostles. The apostles then wrote the Bible. They did some preaching. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 emphasizes that. And their preaching, of course, was inspired. Everything they said was right. They were guided by the Holy Spirit. Here we are. My Bible is still open to John 17. If I go back just to John chapter 16, and at verse 13, the Bible says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth." He's talking to his apostles in the upper room. Now, what does he say to them again? Verse 13, the Spirit, he would give them the Spirit. He would guide you not into some truth, not into most truth, not into the majority of truth. He would guide you into all truth. I'm not talking about biology. It's not talking about math or history. It's talking about God's will. The apostles were guided by the Holy Spirit into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. So Jesus gave his words to the apostles. He didn't just leave them out here to memorize everything that he ever told them. And in fact, Jesus didn't have time to tell the apostles everything that they needed to be told. So he sent them, once he went back to heaven, he sent them the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit guided them unto all truth. So they did some speaking, and they did some writing. And everything they spoke, again, was inspired by the Holy Spirit. That's very important to understand. The apostles were not perfect people. They made some mistakes. We see, as we read through the New Testament, some of their faults and some of their flaws. But when it came down to their teaching, they made no mistakes. When it came down to what they wrote, it was the divine word of God. Again, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6 through 13, that's a passage that deals with revelation. Read it for yourself. And Paul emphasizes that the things that used to be a mystery was now being revealed to them, the apostles, by or through the Spirit. And so that goes right along with the passage in John chapter 16 at verse 13. Then in Ephesians 3, Paul begins to talk about the things that he wrote. And he was emphasizing that the things that he wrote could be understood. But we learn from that he did some writing. And so did Peter and the other apostles. So we recognize that they wrote, they took this message, the words that God gave to Jesus and he gave to them through the Spirit, they wrote it down. So when we look at this chart then, if we want to just get right to the point, we could go through those first two points and really see what the Bible is saying. God speaks how? Through the Bible. Gave the words to Jesus, who gave them to the apostles. They wrote it down. That's what we have in this book we call the Bible. This is how God speaks. In faithful churches of Christ, we realize once again, this is the only way that he speaks. Whenever you deviate from that truth, you're in trouble. In fact, whenever you deviate from that, you start believing something else, you now become a servant to another. You say, who? To whoever the preacher is, male or female. If you believe that God continues to give latter-day revelation, and a preacher gets up and he starts saying, well, God told me to tell you this or to tell you that, you become a servant to that man or woman. If you believe that's the word of God that he's given you. Now, basically, you have to do whatever it is that he says. And we see people doing outrageous things simply because the preacher said, this is a message that God gave me to give to you. But it's all a lie. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that God speaks in these last days through his Son. His Son speaks through the apostles. They have all died, but they did some writing. They left their word behind. It's the New Testament. And that's how God speaks to us today. You're on safe ground if you just stick with the Bible. If you demand book, chapter, and verse for everything that is taught and everything that is practiced, you know it's no longer a guess. You know that you're doing what is well-pleasing to God. And that's what we do in faithful churches of Christ. That's why I'm a member of the Church of Christ. Let's look quickly at the error of denominations along these lines. We find when it comes to authority, they have men who are heads over their churches. It begins with Catholicism. They have the Pope. The Pope is supposed to be the head of the church on earth. I told you earlier, the church only has one head. It doesn't need two. You think Jesus needs help? Doesn't. But in Catholicism, the Pope is the head. And the fact of the matter is, that is unscriptural. They believe not only do they have the Word of God as their standard, but they also have tradition as their standard. And in fact, whenever, if you want to know the truth of the matter is, with Catholicism, whenever their tradition is in contradiction to the Scriptures, they choose tradition. Tradition is put above Scripture because they believe that they're equal. And you want to know, why am I not a Catholic? That's why. That's one reason why. Because they have the wrong standard of authority. But that's Catholicism. All of the churches of the 16th century Reformation movement, they've all gone down the wrong path. They have councils of men. They don't have one man, but it basically ends up the same. Instead of having one man, a pope, they have councils of men and women today who sit at a particular place that make rules and regulations, and those rules and regulations change all the time. That's why I told you earlier, in all those denominations, you know what they would say? If you ask them, is Christ the head of the church? They'd say yes. The fact of the matter is, the head of the church is the only one who can make rules and regulations for the church. That's why the rules that we go by, it never changes. Faithful churches of Christ, today are the same as they were 2,000 or nearly 2,000 years ago. Because the faith never changes. Because there's no one on earth who has the authority to make those changes. In denominational churches, you have men sitting in position of authority here on earth. They can change whatever they want to, and they do. Often. You know, I always give the illustration of homosexuality because it's so vivid, and it's such a hot topic in our society today. But it's just amazing to me that denominational churches actually vote on whether or not homosexuality is okay. And whether or not they should have pastors in their pulpits who are homosexual. And mainstream denominations are fighting about that. And some of them are dividing over that. You know what you'll never find in faithful churches of Christ? A vote on homosexuality. You might have some teaching in some unfaithful churches of Christ, and I've read some, believe it or not, that support homosexuality. But in faithful churches of Christ, you'll never see that. Because Christ is the head of the church, and he's already passed the law. God has already set forth legislation on morality and where homosexuality falls in that. It's sinful. The Bible declares it. So we're not taking a vote on whether or not we should have or allow homosexuals to be members of the church. We love those who are practicing that sin. We love them just like we do any other sinner. But no, can they become members at the Brown Street Church of Christ? Not while they're in sin. They have to first repent. And that means quitting that. In denominations, no, they just turn to these people sitting in positions of authority to make those decisions. And so, why am I a member of the Church of Christ? Because Christ is the head of the church. Why am I not a member of denominational churches? They have the wrong people in position of authority. And then, with regard to my second point, many in denominational churches believe in latter-day revelations. And we see it, although I don't have time to put all the quotes that I could. I'll just give you two, and the lesson will be yours. Here's a popular preacher. She was at one time. She may still be. Beth Moore says, you know what he, that is God, told me not too long ago? I told you when I first began this whole concept, he first started teaching it to me about 5 years ago. He said these words to me, baby, you have not even begun to believe me. You haven't even begun. You know what he said to me just a few days ago? Honey, I just want you to know we're just beginning. You hear me sometimes say that when it comes down to religion, the people are very gullible. We have to be careful about that, because that can be true in churches of Christ as well. I don't know what it is about religion, but people just seem to be so gullible. Like, this is so clearly wrong. You would think anyone would say, you know what? God didn't say that to her. God is not going. We have a Bible full of revelation, of God speaking to his servants. Find me a passage where he referred to one of his servants like that. Baby? Honey? God's not doing that. God is above that. Wow, we love God and he loves us and we're his children. He doesn't sustain that kind of relationship with us. We need to give him reverence and respect. And when he speaks to us, he speaks to us like he's supreme in authority. And when he speaks through the word. We don't see any of that kind of language. You just read that and say, well, that's something she just made up. And you'd be right about that. But they just eat it up. Here's another one, my friend Benny Hinn. Oh, boy, I have all kind of quotes from him. He has said some of the most ridiculous things that even denominational churches call out as being ridiculous. And yet I tell people all the time, when I was preaching in Kentucky, he'd come to town, he'd fill foot, football stadiums up just like that. They find Benny Hinn's in town, they just flock to it. It's just unbelievable. Listen to this. He once said, Adam had complete dominion over the earth and all it contains. Adam could fly like a bird. Adam could swim underwater and breathe like a fish. Adam went to the moon. Adam walked on water. Adam was a super being. He was the first superman that lived. Adam had dominion over the sun, moon, and stars. Do you read any of that in the Bible? Would you read the Bible on your own and come to the conclusion, you know, Adam could swim underwater like a fish? No. That's unscriptural. And yet, in denominational churches, preachers could get away with that. They could basically say anything they want to. All they have to do to attach to what they say is, God told me this. And once they do that, because people buy into the idea of latter-day revelation and don't realize God only speaks through this book we call the Bible. Like, I can't get behind this pulpit and just say anything I want to. It wouldn't just be Brother Jimmy coming to me. I know a lot of you would come to me. If I told you, if I wrote in the bulletin, Adam could fly. First of all, I'd find out if you even read the bulletin. But assuming that you do, I would have several comments on that. Because that's what we're trained to do in faithful churches of Christ. We want book, chapter, and verse. And we demand of our preachers that they give book, chapter, and verse. That's why I'm a member of the Church of Christ. We avoid all of this. Right, there might be a little bit of humor when you read some of this stuff. It's really not funny. Because what all of this leads to most of the time are these preachers asking people for a whole lot of money. And some people give their life savings to individuals simply because they say, God spoke to me. And it's a very sad thing. Even sadder than that, they lead people away from God. Souls are lost because of it. The only way your soul is safe and secure is if we all rely on the Bible. If the blind lead the blind, they both fall into the ditch. I need to stick with the Word of God. You need to demand that I stick with the Word of God. That's what we do in faithful churches of Christ. That's a good reason to be a member of the Lord's church. Next week, we'll talk a little bit about the organizational structure. I know these are fundamental things. But you need to see that there's a huge difference between man-made churches, denominational churches, even though they're very popular when it comes down to organization, and the Lord's church that you read about in the Bible. Why are you a member of the church that you belong to? If you're a member of the Church of Christ, I hope it's for the right reason. If you're a member of a denominational church, I hope you start to think about these things and realize that you shouldn't be, because of all of the error of denominationalism. We'll talk more about this next week. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel. If you're here tonight and you're outside of the ark of safety, you can do something about it. I'll tell you what almost no denominational church will tell you, and it's this. If you want to be saved, you must repent and be baptized. That's Acts 2 and at verse 38. We can put our finger on the passage. We preach and teach that because it's the Word of God. That means if you're here tonight, you may be religious, you may be good, you may be very charitable. If you haven't repented of your sins and been baptized into Christ, you're still outside the ark of safety. But you can do something about that tonight. The water is ready right behind me. We can baptize you in just a few minutes. You can become a new creature in Christ. Why not make tonight the night? If you're a child of God, you haven't been living right. That won't do. Revelation 2 at verse 10, we have to be faithful unto death. If you have fallen short of that, you need to repent and pray God. Acts 8 at verse 22. Why not do that tonight? Don't leave in an undone condition. Certainly don't leave thinking, well, I'm a member of the Church of Christ, so I'm okay. No, not if there's sin in your life. Do something about it. If you sin publicly, come forward and we'll pray for you and support you, do everything we can to help you. But do what is right. Restore your fellowship with God. Do it right now as we together stand and say.